evening. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to start in just a second in verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9. A few weeks ago, I did a lesson, I'm not sure what the title of it was, but it was about men and marriage and the relationship of men in their marriages and how it is that they are to take step up in their relationships. It went for all of us, and we kind of covered the gamut. Larry said that I hashed it over and over and over, so maybe I went too far, but I appreciate the comments that were made afterwards, and I hope that it was beneficial. So as a follow-up, and to be balanced, I want to talk tonight about women in that relationship.
require, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. So, two or three things that overlap with what we've discussed. It says there in verse 8, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also. So he says men do this, and in just the same way as men lifting up holy hands, being holy and sanctified in God, his expectation is that women do the same thing, that they're holy. And he says, not that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, or shamefacedness, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Don't make the focus about your outward self, but on your inward self, like I was just talking about. And he says, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Remember where we started? The good works we're told about her in Proverbs. Let her good works praise her. So he says, profess godliness, be righteous, bring righteousness to your family, be a reflection of righteousness for your family to see, and so that you bring light into your family and into your relationships. And whether that's just a husband-wife relationship, or whether it's with children, or whether you don't have a wife or children and you're just bringing that to your extended family, you can bring godliness and good works to that relationship. And he says, he goes on to talk about women and their relationship to men with regards to their work in the church and with their relationships. And he gives two reasons why silence and submission is required. And those two reasons were that Adam was formed first, then Eve. This is the order that God designed it to be. And then second reason was that woman fell into transgression. And so God says, for those two reasons, this is the order that I expect men and women to behave. And so God elevates men to a particular requirement and duty and office, you might say, in a relationship. And then he says that women can submit to that. And so, and it will work, and it will be the way he wants it designed. And but verse 15, he says, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness and self-control. So now we're talking about the intimate relationship of a husband and wife. And he says, if they continue in holiness and love, faith, and self-control. So back to that teamwork that we talked about in the beginning. This is a mutual partner relationship between a husband and a wife. The works that he does and the works that she does are both contingent on the holiness of the family. Now, either one of them can be holy on their own, and the other one could go astray, and one should stay the course, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're going to build up your relationship, if you're going to build up your husband, if you're going to establish one another and create that synergy in the relationship, he says, then continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. So in everything, in regards to your life and your spiritual life, your physical life, keep those things balanced and have a self-control. So we started last lesson on Ephesians 5:22 through the end of the chapter, talking about men and women in relationship in the church and what God's expectation was for men, especially in that, and that husbands were to love their wives and wives were to respect their husbands and to be submissive to them, just as the church is to Christ. When we think about the obligation, again, that men have as leaders in a home, that obligation is made much easier when the wife or the women in the relationship are capable and are striving for perfection in Christ to do their part, and they're supporting that relationship. And not necessarily that you can make it easier, but you can definitely make it harder. And so a husband, I assure you, a husband cannot do a marriage relationship by himself. It's a two-way street. It requires both of you to be able to have a great relationship. And you can muddle through a marriage, I guess, and you can have ups and downs. We've all had ups and downs. Those who have been married a while, you'll have a lot of ups and downs. But men typically make way more mistakes than women do. And so we need women to be able to support us and keep us in the straight and keep us on our toes and keep the path straight. But I want you to take away this. What I see in the scriptures from Proverbs and from Timothy and from Peter is a pure design that God made for the ultimate relationship between husbands and wives. That God has in His mind this relationship that He's in, that He's intimately involved in, and He is leading both people to perfection in Him. And so they are working together to be back with Him in eternity someday, which should be all of our goal. And so when young people are thinking about getting married, they need to be looking for someone that will help them get to heaven, that will fulfill them and will be a partner to them, that will help them be in communion with God the best way that they can be. For those of us that are already married, we need to be looking to support and to shore up our relationship so that we can get each other to heaven. And so I've used the scripture a lot, iron sharpening iron. If it wasn't for that idea, then we would all be doing our own thing. We would say, well, I'm going to be in this relationship for myself. But especially in a marriage relationship, God's expectation is that we are helping one another, that we're proving one another, we're testing one another, we're shoring one another up, and we're making each other better by the things that we do, and that we're not counterproductive to His will. When He gives the responsibility to fathers to raise their children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it is definitely to the fathers, but the wife and the mother plays a tremendous role in that, and probably a very intimate part of the role in it. And so it doesn't negate her responsibility to raising the children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But it still falls to him, but they are going to do it a whole lot better together than they are if he's having to do it all by himself, or if she's trying to do it all by himself. When there's a breakdown in a relationship between a husband and a wife, and you have one person trying to raise kids, it becomes extremely difficult. Many of you guys know individuals or have gone through it yourself, where you have one person, and all of you school teachers, I'm sure, see it over and over and over, and it's heartbreaking how many single mom families there is, or single dad families there are, and all these people that are just going at life alone by themselves. That's not God's plan, especially for Christians. So Christians need to sanctify themselves first, be at peace with God, be holy in their conduct, and provide that to their relationships. And Christian women especially have a tremendous amount of authority in the home and from God to bring that to the family and to make it, to shore up their relationship and to have a positive influence with their husbands. I hope this has been helpful in just reading through those scriptures and talking about it. The invitation is for all of us. Men and women need the Lord. Our young people need the Lord. And the thing is, our relationships can cause us a lot of pain if we don't do them right from the beginning. And sometimes we have to relearn them, and we've made a lot of mistakes. If there's been any mistakes made in your life, in your relationship, or anything we can help you with as brethren, we want to pray for you and with you and help you to get back on track. If there's sin in your life that you need to repent of, ask you to do so as we come forward and stand and sing.
yours from mercy's most wonderful high. His love in that call he outpours. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the Spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Oh, who to himself will be true? Of all whom these voices invite, who answers, my brother, to you? I am coming to Jesus tonight. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the Spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight?
I want to thank Brother Pax for the good lesson and for him being willing to put that together for